The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
If we go into a new week, thanks for being with us. Tyzik is the chairman of the board. If anything goes wrong, it's absolutely his fault, not mine. Hope you had a great sports weekend. I took in a lot of Larry Fitzgerald, obviously. Took in a lot of the Cardinal game on Thursday night, watched it back a couple times. And I've got some thoughts on that. Today's show, Ron Wolfley will be with us from Wolf and Luke on 98.7 FM. And of course, Ron, the longtime color analyst up until last year, and still does his show. I want to talk to him about Larry's weekend and also about the quarterback. I think we have a quarterback controversy brewing. Not done, but it's brewing. We will get into that with Ron here in a little bit, some of my thoughts momentarily. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. We will also have John Wilner with us for Wilner Hotline, everything around the college sports landscape. And unfortunately, but fortunately, it's going to be another week of John and I talking about business, because the Protect College Sports Act did not happen over the weekend. What does that mean for you as a ASU or U of A or any college fan? Today, there's a big meeting with the College Football Playoff Committee. What does that mean? Eventually, I would like to talk about games with John. We're only 2 weeks away. And this offseason has been very newsy, but I think it's newsy that for most fans, it's like, Brad, I don't want to hear any more about payment of players. I don't want to hear any more about CFP expansion. I don't want to hear any more about conference realignment and this College Protect Sports Act. I don't buy it for a moment. All that stuff's important, though. And so John and I are going to do our thing. I think the big story over the weekend, I could go with Fitz because it's a one-time deal, or I could go with the Diamondbacks taking 2 of 3. And if you watch the games like I did, they really should have swept the Dodgers. It's, you leave, what was it, 14 or 16 on base in a one-run game? You deserve to lose. But I'll start with Fitz. So his speech on Saturday was very much like Larry when he played. He would catch the ball, he'd score a touchdown, he'd hand the ball off to the referee, and he'd run back to the sideline. There was no reason for him to do big dances or make a first down point or any of that stuff. That just was not him. And his speech reflected that. His speech was one that was to the point, got through it, didn't break down, which had to have been hard for him when he got to his dad and his kids. And that was great that he talked about his kids. I liked that stuff. I mean, Adam Vinatieri, what are we doing? What exactly was that all about? Larry's speech was first class and touched all the bases as it should. He thanked the right people. He thanked Carson. He thanked Kurt. He didn't go down the path of thanking every last teammate, and the speech would go on and on and on. It was 15 minutes, and it was a really good 15 minutes. Sometimes in speeches, or most times in speeches, less is more. You don't have to always go down. I want to thank my second grade math teacher and the janitor. It's great to do that if you have time, but in 15 minutes, you couldn't do it. The Cardinals today announced that they're retiring Fitz's number. That's very smart. The Cardinals announced that they're going to do it, that there will never be another number 11 wearing the Cardinal jersey. The game that they're going to retire it, again, very smart. It's the Denver game on October 25th. By then, about the only things probably, and I'm hopeful they win, because there's nothing worse than sitting here like I've done the last 10 years and every week saying same old stuff. There's nothing worse. And when you see it, I actually am interested now in what they're doing rather than just, okay, we know how this is going to go. The boat sinks at the end of the Titanic. Kyler's going to get thrown out of here. They're going to bring in another head coach, and they're going to draft another quarterback, and we're going to have to see. When I saw Carson Beck, and trust me, I am not one to say sitting here in August that there's a quarterback controversy, but I will say there is one brewing. And yes, it's only one preseason game, and it's against a bunch of guys who probably aren't going to be in the league and very vanilla on the defensive side coming at him, and all that stuff, okay? But he did all the little things in the very first game that I just want to see command of a huddle. I just want to see the play run on time. I want to see when there's a little bit of adversity. because he's going to have a lot of adversity when they open up against the Chargers. And that's, I think that's where I'm struggling with the idea of having Carson Beck be named the starter. And I think the enthusiasm of one preseason game should not get in the way of the fact. It's not that, hey, where they're paying Jacoby Brissett or they're paying Gardner Minshew. In this day and age, those contracts can be bought. Those contracts can be traded. There's all sorts of things behind the scenes that can be worked through. I think the biggest part of all this is to look in the locker room. You're head coach Mike LaFleur, and it's your very first year as a head coach. And you go through training camp, and you're going to tell some veterans, this kid gives us the best chance to win. Versus, do you start the season in LA against the Chargers? It'll be sold out. And then you have Seattle at home in week two. I think that's a tough one for me to say unless we just sit here the next 3 weeks and we see sloppy football. But it's coming. Most fans that I talk to already want Carson Beck. They don't care about Jacoby Brissett or Gardner Minshew. And I think that's unfortunate, but that's just where fandom is in a city that is absolutely parched for a winner. We haven't had one. We haven't even had a competitive in a long time here. So, you know, it's fair, and it's what people talk about, and they should. But I'm not one that says you have it today. I'm one that's like, I'm leaning a little bit towards, I'm diving in, maybe it's 20, 30% of, you know, what's the worst that could happen this year? Because if you play him this year and he doesn't get crushed, then you don't have to sit here next year and go into the whole Arch Manning discussion, which people are already doing. And that's no fun. It's never fun when a season opens and it's already, we're going to have a top five pick in Arizona. And what are they going to do at quarterback? Are they going to go take Arch Manning? Are they going to go take Dante Moore? I don't want that. And I don't believe the players do. In terms of Fitz's number being retired, like what else? Of course it should be. And they're doing it in the middle of the season when the season is probably going to be out of hand, or maybe it's not. Maybe things come together and they have a good record. I'm not going to sit here and say what they could or have or couldn't have. There are always a ton of Denver fans, and I know it's that way for most any team that comes to Arizona. It's usually a home game for the other team. But I would think being out front of this, where they are today, and these guys, they plan this stuff out way in advance. You know, we were watching the speeches and they cut automatically to Ken Wisenhunt, who's there, or the owner who's there. They know where they are. It's all scripted. It's good for TV. It's not great in terms of just this is where we want it to be. And if we can find them, great. It's all scripted. This is all scripted. There's been meetings, I'm sure, on top of meetings of, okay, when Larry goes in, then we're going to do this and then we're going to do that. So this is the latest with Larry. And is it going to be Larry goes into some sort of role with the Cardinals, which would be a boon for them? I don't know if he needs it, but if it's an itch for him to scratch, why not? The Diamondbacks. So here they are in the, what are we at, August 10th? And they're right in the middle of this, and I think they've got to get, they're at 60 some odd. I think the magic number for them is going to be about 88 to 90. And they just took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers and they split 4 with San Diego. And you can make the case in not all those games, but in many of the games that they did lose, could have easily had won it with just a hit here or a play there. And it didn't happen. I'm still very pleased with that run. Now you have Colorado. Colorado has nothing to shoot for. This is one of those series where you could look at and say, well, they should just roll over Colorado. This is where teams find their way out of the wild card at the end of the season by a game or two. You take care of business. You just take care of business. And that's what's going on here this weekend. Then they go to Atlanta. That's not going to be easy. And then they go to Boston, hottest team in baseball. So, but the games are interesting. They're in the middle of it. This is what we like. We don't like saying in middle of August, well, let's turn the page to football. We just don't like that. There's no need for it. One other note. Our good friend, Paula Bovin, the professor, of those of you that have watched this through the last 15 years, know that I'm very fond of Paula. Paula and I have been friends all the way back to our days when we were in Southern California. We used to compete against each other on the radio. She was at KMPC 710. I was on the Mighty 690. I sit next to her at a press box in San Diego. We start chatting. We have loads of respect for each other because she would, when she wrote in the LA papers, she would kick everybody's butt. And when I got over here and I was over on KTAR and I'd put Paula on every Monday night, I'd have management come down the hall. Why are you putting a woman on the air? Because she's, what does that matter? You know, why? And by the way, it's my show. If you don't like it, we can have a negotiation, but she deserves her platform. She's as plugged in as anybody. And so she was awarded a Trailblazer in Sports Media over the weekend. It's been announced. I'm going to have the professor on here in a couple of weeks. She teaches at Cronkite now. And Paula's got stories that she's never really poured out about stuff that she had to face as a woman in the locker room years ago. So I want to have Paula on here, but congratulations to her and well done. All right, on the other side, Ron Wolfley and then John Wilner. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, Ron Wolfley is with us for a few minutes. Now, I could give this big flowery introduction about how he should be in the Ring of Honor. I could give this whole flowery introduction about all the great things that Ron has done through the years, but he is a high school football dad, which, by the way, supersedes everything. We're going to talk about Fitz in a little bit and Carson Beck and all that stuff, but it's good to see you. How is high school football dad life?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, it's great, Bradley. It really is. Vetter, my son, he is a junior now at Horizon High School, and go Huskies. And yet at the same time, he's developing as a football player and as a young man. I'm just so proud of him. He plays the game hard. It doesn't mean he makes every play. It doesn't mean he does everything great. It doesn't mean he's a great player. It just means he loves the game of football and plays hard. And I love him for that and respect him for it as well.
When you're in this high school dad space in football, how different is it from when you were growing up?
Oh my goodness. It is night and day. I mean, it really is. You know, my father was a truck driver, of course, and he was busy trying to feed us where, you know, he didn't have a lot of time to actually pour into us in regard to what we were doing athletically. And, you know, my older brother, Craig, of course, played two sports. I played three sports. They were always trying to feed us more than anything else. And so it's a lot different. I like to attend every event that I possibly can with my kids. And I think availability is something I'm trying to focus on a little bit more, especially the older I get, Bradley.
No, I get that. I totally get that, Ron. I think that's great. I'm just wondering, how do you feel about the booster club meeting where we need this for this, and we need this for that, and we need this for the other, and we have this coming up, and we have that coming up. And by the way, it's year round. And if you take off a couple weeks in summer, and we don't see you at weight training, you may not have your starting spot. I mean, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Bradley, you know, I mean, the Warrior Queen handles all of that, as a matter of fact. She's way more involved in that in regard to actually volunteering her time, you know. So, once again, it's a situation where I just sit there and tell me what to do. You know, when I walk into those doors, for the most part, the Warrior Queen is telling us, here's what you got to do today. So, you know, okay, gotcha.
Ron Wolfley with us for a few minutes. We're all celebrating in the weekend, the week after Fitz's weekend in Canton. What stood out to you most in his speech? And what stood out to you from the whole Hall of Fame weekend? May not even be Fitz related, but let's just start with Fitz.
Yeah, just Larry's speech. You know, he's so eloquent. He's a guy that thinks about everything, every word that he's going to say, and just a class act, as we all know. And to see Larry Fitzgerald up there giving his speech, it really just, I think all of Arizona, we look at Larry and we adopt him as our own. there's no doubt about it. He's everything that we would hope to be ourselves in regard to how he treats others, the love that he has for his teammates, for people, and just the class act that he is. So it was great to see him. What stood out from the speech specifically, to me is where he was telling his boys, you need to surround yourself with people that will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. I thought that was, once again, pretty profound for Larry to actually say that, pass that along to his boys. And I thought, man, is that something that I would like better, of course, and Savannah, my kids, to actually be able to focus on and say, wow, here's this guy, Larry Fitzgerald, who has accomplished so much in his life. And yet he's talking about surrounding yourself with people that will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Man, I thought that was profound.
Yeah, I thought his speech was a little bit like his touchdown celebrations. Just turn around, hand the ball off to the referee, and run back to the sideline. There's no reason to half dance, you know?
Thank goodness, because Adam Vinatieri, are you kidding me?
There's no reason for that. You know, I thought Roger Craig's moment was hard.
Yeah.
You know, I've had discussions with you in the past about it, but I would just leave it at it was a hard to see him at that stage in his life.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt about it. Football is in a state of flux. It is changing and developing and evolving, of course, over all of these years, especially the last 10, 15 years, I would say. The knowledge that we have today is so much better and clearer on what we had back then when we were playing about head trauma and head injuries and overcoming them, of course. And, you know, it's a situation, once again, where, okay, that's the way that it was, Bradley. And I think if you were in my era, we all have CTE. I honestly believe that. If you played in my era, we all have it. Not maybe every one of us, maybe a kicker doesn't have it, but we all do. I think it's just a situation when, you know, where and when it might manifest itself. That's, you know, up to God. And I trust God, and I'm going to hold his hand and just walk through everything, man. Because once again, I wouldn't change one thing about it, Bradley. I want you to know that, man. Not one thing would I change. I loved the era that I came up in, the National Football League. I loved everything about it, the brutality. I loved the brutality. I loved the in-your-face mentality that it was as well. I loved it. It was hardship, and yet it made me feel at home in a weird kind of way.
Sure, sure. No, I think Roger's speech summed it up best. It's a double-edged sword, and I knew Billy Ray Smith very well. I covered Billy Ray Smith in San Diego, and I knew that he was in bad shape, and we just lost BR a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, not to be a downer on it, but I thought Roger Craig's speech was one that was very moving. I want to get over to on the field in the organization. Do we have a quarterback controversy, Ron?
No.
do we have a controversy where if week one against the Chargers, Carson Beck isn't the starter, that fans are going to be upset? And you and I are on the same street on this, but you know, it's very early into camp. Let's just put that out there.
Yeah.
We still have some preseason games to go. But as we sit here today, do we have a quarterback controversy?
You know, I don't think so. I think Jacoby Brissett is going to be the starter going forward. Now, once again, if I were the Arizona Cardinals and I see Carson Beck develop all the way through preseason, boy, if you tell me he plays like this through preseason, plays like he did in game one, I'm going to tell you right now, Bradley, we're going to have a quarterback controversy. Seriously, because once again, it's going to be a situation where you're saying, okay, he's going to go out and prove to these vets that are in the locker room that this kid can go out and execute this offense and do it at a high level. Now, listen, this has already happened. I talk about it all the time, but Dak Prescott back in 2016 as a fourth round pick, Dak Prescott, when Tony Romo went down with a bad back in training camp, they didn't go to Kellen Moore, the backup. They went to Dak Prescott. And guess what? He lit it up. And why did they go to him in week one of the 2016 season? They went to him because his preseason, Bradley, was absolutely on fire. Mm-hmm. He threw for I think it was 72% of his passes he completed. Yes, it was 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions in 3 games in preseason. And that to me is exactly what Carson Beck would have to do, I think, to get the attention of the coaches and the players in the locker room and say, hey, listen, I think I can do this. And there's a lot of reason behind why he might be able to pull this thing off, such as the fact that he's a 6-year guy in college football. He's older. He's 24 years old, man. You got to be kidding me. This is a guy that has a lot of experience. He has every tool that he needs. The arm strength was on display in week one of this preseason. To see him throw some deep in routes, some dig routes, see him throw the ball down the field, it was really, really cool. So if he continues to play at the level he played in week one, oh, yeah, you're going to have a quarterback controversy. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I see a present-day Tyler Shuck situation, and I bring it up only because I know Tyler very well. He's 26, much like Carson's situation, and he bounced around programs, had some injuries, and all of a sudden now he looks like an absolute home run pick by the New Orleans Saints. And the Carson Beck story, I think, can go along the same trajectory. And for those who say, suck for Arch this year, no, you don't want that if you're a Cardinal fan. You want them to actually hit on a pick at quarterback. So next year, if this is not a great season, you have a high pick and you can address another part. Or this could be the total shock season because nobody's expecting this team to win more than 3 or 4 games.
Yeah, that's right. And Bradley, here's the other thing about this too. I love the idea. We all know Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah.
We all know and respect Jacoby Brissett for the man that he is, the quarterback that he is, of course. He is a guy that can go out and produce, but he is a backup quarterback. And I think, you know, his career for the most part points to that and is verification of that. He is a backup quarterback. Now, again, I'm not trying to backhand him metaphorically speaking in any way, shape, or form, but I am saying that if you've got this guy, you got to find out about Carson Beck. You drafted him in the 3rd round. I realize that's not like a franchise quarterback. You're not drafting a guy in the 3rd round that you think is going to be your franchise quarterback. Yet at the same time, Bradley, I mean, this is the guy that has every tool that he needs. And you've got to find out about him before you go into 2027. Wouldn't it be a great thing to actually do that over the course of a season, an entire season? And I know that people are screaming right now, you paid Jacoby Brissett $15.5 million guaranteed. Yeah, you did, yet at the same time, why put a roadblock in the way of Carson Beck if, in fact, he continues to play at a high level like Dak Prescott did in his preseason and then carried it over into the regular season? I would give this kid every opportunity. I would want to see him, Brad, start the season. I'd want to see him start the season. How does he act? Where is his nervous level? Is he under control? Is he absorbing all of this? Is he executing? I would want to see how he responds to every situation we possibly could and then watch him develop over the course of a full season, if possible, because you'll have your answer at the end of 2026 as to whether or not he's going to be the guy going forward or not.
One other thing, I'll let you go off that. Ron Wolfley with us, 98.7 FM. Always good to catch up with Ron. I'll take the other side of the street. You start him at LA against the Chargers, and then you have Seattle in week 2. He could get crushed.
Yeah.
Early. And is it better for him to stand on the sideline with a very good offensive mind play caller, a new head coach, and just say, you know what, just watch for a few weeks. There's going to come a point, but do you just throw him into the fire, Ron, and hope he makes it through 17 weeks, or is he going to get crushed? This offensive line is not going to remind people of the Hogs in Washington.
Yeah, well, I think Mike LaFleur is going to be able to handle a lot of that, of course, in regard to how he calls the game. And I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to try to run the ball. Now, hopefully their defense will be competitive. Hopefully they'll be in games where they can commit to running the ball. But I guess for me, Bradley, again, you make a lot of sense the first couple of weeks. I get that. I would like to see how the kid responds, because once again, he's older. He's 24 years old. He's a six-year guy, as we talked about, in regard to playing college football. I would give him every opportunity if he proves to me he knows the offense, he knows what he's doing, and he can execute it. And that's why the preseason games and the reps that he gets in preseason are going to be so important for him. If we're even having this conversation going forward, he's got to prove that he can go out, he understands the offense, he can have command of it, and that he can execute it, and that his teammates know that he can do that. Because, once again, you've got guys in the locker room that are going to be like, hey, Jacoby Brissett is our best quarterback. Why are you not playing him? So that's something you've got to think about as well.
Yeah, and then you flip it over to the fans who you deal with on your show, and the community is going to be screaming for Carson Beck the minute that Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew do anything wrong. They could fart in the wind, and they're going to be demanding for Carson Beck. That's how it's going to be. We all like fresh faces. I know that,
but provided, Bradley, of course, that he plays like this throughout the preseason.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insights as always, Ron. Thanks.
Man, you're the best, Bradley. Love you, buddy.
Here's John Wilner for a few minutes. Always good to have Wilner Hotline, noted college sports, not just football, voice of reason, sometimes of nonsense. We love having John on with Wilner Hotline, part of sports360az.com. All right.
That's very true about the nonsense.
The nonsense. So here's nonsense. We're going to give a J school session here. So I'm going to paint a picture. It's Friday night. John is married with kids. You would think they'd be out at dinner. You would think that they're enjoying their lives. But you're watching, you're telling me off air, was it like a web stream or C-SPAN of the
live stream of the Senate? Yes, live stream of the
Friday
Senate.
Night. Like what time Friday night, John?
It was like 11:15 Pacific.
11:15 Pacific, where people would be at the clubs in Scottsdale, but John Wilner. Who frequents? No, he doesn't frequent. But
no,
you're watching a stream of the Protect College Sports Act because you're working. This is how it goes.
It used to be that J School stood for journalism. Right now, it's jurisprudence.
I like that. That's good.
So, yeah, Friday night. I mean, the thing is that this bill, Protect College Sports, is so important. Not necessarily good or bad, just important for setting the trajectory of college sports because of everything that has to do with expansion and realignment and the Super League.
Recruiting.
I mean, all of it, all of it. Coaching changes, roster compensation, everything, but especially the expansion and realignment piece is addressed in there. And it could have frozen everything. It still might, but it got put on pause. So, you know, Friday night, the Senate's going to adjourn for August recess. Are they going to vote on this bill or not? Is it going to move to the House? And at, I think it was 2:20 Eastern time, the news comes that, no, they have decided the Senate is not going to vote. They're going to punt it to September, which narrows the path for this bill to ever become law. And then there are, you know, second and third order effects of this bill failing, because we could see the SEC and the Big Ten create a self-governing model where they kind of break away from the NCAA in terms of the rules and regulations that they use for competition.
This is not good from a standpoint of fans are going to be caught up in games. You know, by now I would like to be talking to you about Hawaii against Stanford. I kind of would like to be talking about USC and their season. I would love to be talking some college football. But we could be sitting here in September when they come back, and rather than focusing on the field, we're going to be so focused on what does this mean off the field, it feels to me.
Well, we could be. You know, we'll see. World and national events could, you know, move it down the priority list.
Sure.
The Senate is supposed to return second week of September. Will they ever vote on it? I don't know. It also faces a steep steep path to passage in the House. The House is even a bigger problem than the Senate, given that the Congressional Black Caucus, AFL-CIO, NAACP, they're all against it, right? A lot of people who are very smart about these things think it has next to no chance to pass, but Trump is pushing for it, so that gives it a little bit of legs, and we will see. It's going to take a few months, I would think, but it's going to be hanging over the season. There's no doubt about that, as will college football playoff expansion. And they're meeting today about that, more off the field developments that are going to impact what fans see on the field.
Why can't they get all this handled in April? Is it really that hard? It makes for fun for you and I, because there's always something to talk about, but I think fans are fatigued on the business side. They just want to go root for their team. And yet here we are in mid-August, and the CFP meeting today, bring that around to the importance for Arizona and Arizona State, just the importance for those two programs on what happens today. My understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, John, it's the Big Ten wants to go to 24. The SEC does not, but the SEC might if the money is good enough. Big 12 would want to go to the 24 because that would help them out. Am I on point?
You are totally on point. I mean, they've been discussing expansion, you know, it feels like since ASU was called Tempe Normal. and now they're meeting again today. It's a remote meeting, all the conference commissioners. So they're talking about 24, they're talking about 16, and now there's a report ESPN is pushing for 20, which would not really be 20. It would be a 16-team playoff with four play-in games. So you'd have eight teams meeting in what would effectively be like substitutes for the conference championships. Eight teams would meet, the four winners would advance and become the 13, 14, 15, and 16 seeds. It's ESPN's way of trying not to let it get to 24, because if it goes to 24, then Fox is going to get involved. ESPN doesn't want Fox involved. So they're talking about this. They have till December 1 to make a decision. How does it affect the Big 12? Big 12 needs more access because, look, the first 2 years of the 12-team playoff, the Big 12 is the only major conference that hasn't sent an at-large team and that hasn't won a game. So Brett Yormark and his presidents and his ADs and coaches, they want it bigger because that would get us, give them a better chance to get two, three, four teams in. Big 12 needs it more, expansion more than the SEC, Big 10, or ACC for sure. They'll get some kind of expansion, but we don't know if it's 16, 20, 24. I mean, it could be 68 by the time they're done with these discussions.
One other thought.
That was a joke, but the rest of it is definitely not a joke. Definitely not. It's a sad, sad tale of lack of leadership and processes.
You and I are on the same side of the street on that, but for Brent Brennan and Kenny Dillingham, they want to have more access.
They want more access.
Because, yes. Look, from a coaching standpoint, it's not going to matter anymore if you go to the Vegas Bowl or the Sun Bowl. If you don't make the 20, after all the money we're putting in, I'm big cigar, I'm writing big fat check, I really don't want to go to the Liberty Bowl or the Poinsettia Bowl or the Bell Helicopter Bowl, whatever they call the bowl down in Shreveport now.
No, you don't. Absolutely. And, you know, this is a good example of how college football is so interconnected, right? Because let's take ASU for a quick example.
Sure.
In the last, what has it been, six, eight months, they've had home and home series canceled by Texas, LSU, and Florida, right? Well, without those games, ASU's strength of schedule gets impacted. They don't have the chance for those quality wins, right? It's harder to sell tickets for NAU than it is for LSU, obviously, right? It doesn't generate as much excitement among your fan base. So the schedule, the CFP, NIL, it's all connected. And if there's a bigger playoff, if there's more access, then ASU's strength of schedule, losing these games against SEC teams may not be as big a deal, right? You could get into the 2014 playoff on the strength of how you do in the Big 12, right? Whereas to this point, the Big 12 has not gotten any at-large teams in a 12-team playoff. And part of the reason is strength of schedule, the lack of big brands in the conference. So everything is interconnected.
If you're the SEC, you don't need ASU on your schedule.
No, not now that you've gone to nine conference games. No,
right. You don't need Arizona on your schedule. There's no reason. There's no reason to help the Big 12 out. There's a bigger reason for if an ASU fan or U of A fan says, "Oh well, you know, playing games against LSU or Texas is not a big deal," or losing the what? That's how it goes. But I'll flip it around then, John, over to basketball. For U of A, if they were to lose out on games against, let's just say, Florida, for instance, is this going to spill over into the basketball side of the street? Because this would impact the U of A in a big way if they can't schedule these games. Or is it, Brad, look, basketball is a completely different animal. They can go for these pay-for-play tournaments in Vegas. There's no need to go to Maui anymore. You could just go to Vegas and all your players are going to get paid and everybody's going to play everybody. Different than football or not?
Different animal, totally, on a lot of fronts. Most importantly, the selection process for the postseason, right? The NCAA tournament, it's metric-driven and it's very transparent. And it rewards Arizona for playing Florida and UCLA and UConn and all those games. The schedule is also very different with these multi-team events. And another important difference for Arizona especially, in basketball, Arizona is the equivalent of a blue blood, right? From football. So Alabama, for instance, you know, they cancel non-conference football matchups with Oklahoma State and West Virginia, but, you know, they keep Notre Dame, they keep Ohio State on the schedule because those are such big games that, and they're worth it financially. Well, Arizona is that kind of game on the basketball front. For Florida, playing Arizona is a great game. Sure. For UConn, playing Arizona is a great game. It's not in football, which is why the Alabama-Arizona series in football is probably in a little bit of jeopardy. As much as I think Alabama AD Greg Byrne, who used to be at Arizona, I'm sure he wants to keep it. But the reality is that game could be in jeopardy now that the SEC has gone to nine conference games. So basketball is completely different, and Arizona is way better positioned to keep those matchups than it is in football.
That's good stuff there. If there was anything on the football field that you wanted to talk about before you get out of here, is there anything, John? We're only 2 weeks away from games. You know, was it North Carolina TCU to open the season? Is there anything at all that, are we just stuck in this, John, at 11:15 on a Friday night? By the way, are you smiling when you're doing this, 11:15 on a Friday night?
No. I'm thinking, you know, I used to get up at 4 a.m. on the first Wednesday in February to watch letters of intent roll in from the East Coast. Now I'm up at 11:30 on a Friday night watching the Senate live stream. You know, it is different. Thing is, it's important. It's important. That's and, good. You know, I know fans want the games and they should want the games. And it's my job to write about and explain how the stuff happening in D.C. or happened in the CFP or happening in New York. I mean, we haven't even talked about another story, which is the Fox NFL negotiations are on pause and how that could affect college football. Maybe next week we'll get to that. That stuff's it's important stuff, though. It affects what you see on the field.
Doubtful next week because there'll be other things. You know what
I probably will.
You know what I know? They'll be like, hey, so let's talk about the Fox NFL. No, this happened, that happened, this happened.
Right. Have we even gotten to that? We didn't even talk about the Big 12's Monster Energy NASCAR car at the, what was it, at the Iowa Speedway? Big 12 had a Monster Energy car. We didn't get to that.
No, we're not going to get to that. I'm going to let you go off of this. Thanks, man. See you next week. Hey,
thanks a lot, Brad.
There's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout.